and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
You are listening to In the Know with David O., informative, substantive, intelligent talk radio on 860 AM WWDB. And now, your host, Philadelphia Councilman David O.
All right. Good afternoon. Beautiful afternoon. Thanks for joining me again. I was just saying, like, I think this is like my 100th show, you know, something like that. I'll have to dig it out and figure out exactly. But thanks for tuning in and listening. We always have great guests. Today is no exception. Listen, we're going to be talking to Mark Raz. Raz on the radio, one of the biggest public figures in radio, the country music station. He is the music director, DJ at 92.5 XTU, Philadelphia's country music man. We'll go into all of that with him. And we're also going to talk to Kevin Savage. He's a Philadelphia native, you know, great on-screen success, continually rising. If you watch BET's The Quad, you'll know him as Terrence QB1 Barry. If you watch House of Cards and any of these shows, you'll catch him there, and we'll go into his life as an actor, model, and listen, he's also a singer-songwriter. That's something that I didn't find too much on, but we'll check that out with him as well. So listen, let me just start by thanking our show sponsor. Without them, well, we wouldn't have a show. It's Weiner and Pain and Wellness, the wonderful job they do in helping people get back to as full life as possible. If you need their services, they're at 100 South Broad Street, Suite 1800. That's right near City Hall. They do physical therapy, pain management, and chiropractic care. Check them out. You can call them at 215-988-9503. Listen, you can hear today's show and any of the shows by going to wwdbam.com. Check out the menu. Look for programs, In the Know with David O. You'll find, for example, last week's show. We were talking to Steve Mr. Mig Migliori. Listen, he's a multi-platinum, Grammy-nominated engineer and producer. We also talked to Tom Blair. He is, talking to us about the Army-Navy game. Not the football game, the judo weekend.
Oh.
fantastic game for sure. But listen, the day before, December 7th, this Friday at 7 p.m., if you want to check out Army-Navy judo and 10 other colleges, they'll be competing at the Drexel Gym. It's free. Check it out. 7 p.m. This Friday, the Army-Navy judo weekend. Well, listen, let me start by saying this. Our condolences and thoughts and prayers with the family and loved ones of President George H.W. Bush. I had the pleasure of meeting him. What a kind, gentle gentleman. Really just an amazing person. And, you know, it's always tough being president. There's so many hard decisions to be made. I actually met him when he wasn't president, you know, former president. But unexpectedly, I was seated at a table. They said, we're going to seat you at the head table with President Bush. And I actually had two friends visiting from Korea. And I said, like, well, I got two friends here. I'm going to sit back here. And they're like, oh, no, sit up here. And I was like, no, I'm going to sit back here. Then finally they said, I'll bet your friends would really like it if you sat with the president. And I should go, oh, yeah, you're right. So I went in there. I was thinking, like, I'm just going to sit at this big table and nobody's going to talk to me. That's why. But I went there. He came in and, I was seated right next to him. And he's had such a great conversation with me. So humorous, gentle, wonderful guy. And he was reaching for the butter. So I stood up. I'm 5'6", by the way. And I said, I'll get that for you, Mr. President. I was trying to get to the butter in the middle of the table. I looked down. He's looking up at smiling at me, and he said, your arms are too short. So anyway, funny, just a great guy. And the whole story is one of my friends became my wife 7 years later. But I told the president, like, oh, he said, are they here? Would they like a picture? And so, yeah, he took a picture with my wife and her friend, and – it was very, very kind of him. So, yeah, wonderful gentleman. And, our thoughts and prayers with the family. And I just want to salute President George H.W. Bush. Well, listen, my first guest, he is a person who you can hear on the radio. He is assistant program director, music director, DJ, does a lot. And he has been in the music business a long time. He is Mark Raz. He's been on XTU for over a decade. That's 92.5 WXTU. He was there in 2014 when they won the Academy of Country Music Major Market Station of the Year. Now, I know some of you out there are saying, what, Philadelphia? Major market country music? Yes, if you didn't know, Philadelphia is big country music town. And it's so interesting because country music is just so dynamic, so diverse. I really have come to enjoy it, but like many kids growing up in Southwest Philadelphia, you know, I just said, oh, country music is about like twangy music and sad songs. But no, it isn't. And Mark Raz has been nominated for 2 Country Music Awards. He comes from this wonderful background, and here he is. Mark, welcome to the show.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks for inviting me. You've invited me several times, and I'm finally glad we were able to make it happen.
Well, David. It works great. And you will be on the air at 3 o'clock.
Yes.
Yeah.
So as soon as I'm done here, I'll run right up the street.
Everybody tune in, you know, 92.5, you know, check it out.
Yeah, but I want to jump onto your point about President George Bush. He's a big country music fan himself.
Yes.
And in fact,
yes.
Brad Paisley just today tweeted a photo of Brad, his father Doug, and President Bush just a couple of weeks ago. They were visiting, and he did a farewell, you know, Instagram post today. So he was, and his son also, you know, the other President Bush was is a big time country music fan as well. So it was all over the White House. President Obama had a connection to country music. It's really amazing how widespread country music has become, specifically in the last 8 or 9 years.
Yeah. What is it, you know, about country music that really attracts you to it and really, you know, you bring it to your listeners? What is, do you think, that's that special thing about country music?
I think it's real life stories. You know, it's the songwriting gets to the core of human emotions. And I guarantee you, if you spend a day or two with country music, there will be one song that'll bring a tear to your eye or make you remember something that happened in your life that was just so special.
Right.
And when I first got into it, I came from hard rock, heavy metal. Okay, and when I first got into country music, I would work 7 to midnight. I'd be by myself in the studio trying to learn the format, put myself into the thoughts and processes that went into it and try to learn the artists and the songs and try to really put myself into the culture of it. And I just remember sitting there going, oh my God, this song is going to make me cry. And it really spoke to me.
Yes.
Now, years ago, it was the ballads and, you know, the more banjo, more fiddle, more twang to it. But they also told stories.
Right.
If you listen to songs by, you know, Waylon or Merle Haggard, you know, he was known as the singer for brokenhearted people.
Right.
They touched emotions. But now it's kind of gone into, you know, the modern world where it's guitars and amplifiers and younger people singing about the same thing but with a different presentation. It's more rock music presented in a country way.
Yeah, it's great music. I mean, I really enjoy it. And quite frankly, you know, how I really got to know country music, because, you know, I like all kinds of music, but, you know, we do PHL Live.
Sure.
And then we have, you know, the local artists come out and they write music and they perform. And I remember going to the country folk music category, you're really kind of expecting something. And, boy, the diversity, just how beautiful the music is and how just like the presentation. I said, man, this is a fantastic category. I wish more people, you know, were open-minded about it and checked it out.
In the city of Philadelphia, we are one of the busiest country concert venues outside of Nashville.
And who would have guessed that? But yes, we are.
It's true.
I happen to know that.
Between May and September,
you
can look on any calendar for music and find a country music concert in town. Live Nation, which has the BB&T Pavilion over in Camden, pretty much every weekend there's a country music show. So Philadelphia is really become like a mini Nashville. Mm-hmm. There's a gentleman named Rob Snyder who comes out of Westchester, and he was a songwriter, and he right. just wrote a song that went to number one.
Wow.
He moved to Nashville. I was sitting with his family not too many years ago at Dave and Buster's down along the river, and he said to me, I'm going to move to Nashville and write songs. And his mother said to me, Raz, you think he could make it? And I'm like, look, you never know until you move to Nashville and try and go, right, you know, learn right. the craft and learn yes. how to be a songwriter. And the, and Rob was very talented. Mm. And he hooked up with a gentleman named Luke Combs, and She's Got the Best of Me was a 2 or 3 week number one just about a month ago. So
wow,
Rob did very well for himself. So there are people from Philadelphia that have gone down to Nashville and succeeded.
Yeah, yeah. It's really very interesting to me. I mean, for you, when you see these young people out there, or maybe not so young, you know, we're kind of breaking into career with all your experience.
Right.
What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you look at someone out there that talented?
Well, first of all, I cannot play a lick.
Yeah, it's like
all right.
me. Yeah.
I think I have 20 guitars. I've never played one.
It's cool having them, though. I got two myself.
Absolutely. I had a piano in my house. Can't play the piano. I have instruments, but yes. I just don't know what to do with them. But there have been some really great jam sessions that have happened in my house on yeah. you know, holidays. I just think it's a tremendous expression. I only speak one language. I wish I could speak another language. I've always kind of never thought that way. I think mathematics is a language. Mm-hmm. I think music is a language.
Yes.
And if you could share not only your native language that you can speak,
right.
if you could share the language of music or mathematics, or if you could speak 2 or 3 or 4 languages, mm. you're really communicating with a lot more of the world, and that's what I see. Like, it, right. I'm jealous when I see somebody like Chris Stapleton who could take this beautiful piece of poetry and turn it into this beautiful guitar,
right.
acoustic guitar,
yes.
and just make your heart melt. I get jealous of stuff like that, and that's
right,
why I
right.
want to be around people like that. Like, you know, maybe someday, maybe I'll just pick up a guitar and know how to play. No, I know it takes a lot of practice and it takes a dedication, but I just love being around people like that. They're very creative and talented, and they share themselves well yeah. with people.
Yeah, I would describe you as a person who admires others, and you know, you don't have envy. You have encouragement. You see gifts in others, and you are amazed by them, and you want to see them get to share what they do.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. There's only one you.
Mm.
And I say to people that come to me and they go, I just want to go down and I want to become a singer-songwriter. And I tell them, well, then be the best singer-songwriter you can be. Don't try to be George Strait. He already has that job.
Right.
Bruce Springsteen already has that job.
Right.
And you know why George Strait is good at what George Strait does? Because he's George Strait.
Right.
Why is
right.
Bruce Springsteen an American icon? Because he's Bruce Springsteen.
Right.
And he took
right.
his entire life to learn all of these crafts and songs mm. and to bring his music and talent to the world. And you also have that in you. And singing for one person, and I think you've heard me say this to people,
yes,
David,
yes.
over the years.
Yeah.
If you're singing to one person, if I pulled out my guitar and sang to you guys here in the room, or if I went down to the Wells Fargo Center and sang to that room full of people, it's the same job.
Right.
Why is it the same job? Because I'm trying to connect to you guys on a musical level.
Right, right.
You know, and I got to grab your attention just like I'd have to grab 20,000. Or if
right.
you're doing Lincoln Financial Field like Kenny Chesney, you have to grab the people in the front row and up at the top deck.
Right,
it's
right.
the same job. Mm. We all have different levels of it. And there's nothing wrong with being a local singer-songwriter or an international superstar.
Right, right.
It's the same job. Just do it and be happy doing it.
Now, let me ask you this, because it's a perfect segue. So what makes Mark Raz, Mark Raz? Raz on the radio. I mean, you have reached a level as a DJ, a music director. You're putting the sounds out, and, you know, you have a following of people who are, you know, who are counting on you. They have take great pleasure in tuning into you. What are you bringing to your job?
That's not an easy question to answer. It comes from my background, the oldest of 7.
Mm.
So when you're the oldest of 7, if you come from a big family, you got to be a performer anyway,
mm.
because you already survived when my dad was a young man, he was a much different father than when my youngest brother, who's 15 years younger than me, came up. He was a different guy. I mean, I think
you all wore him out.
We wore him out by the time my younger brother, David, was in school.
Yeah, David got away with a lot.
He got away with a lot. Absolutely. So I think coming from that, I think, you know, it was instilled in me very young to be able to kind of survive in that world. Mm. But I, you know, I learned very young. I was fortunate enough to work in major market radio when I was a young man just out of college. So I've been surrounded by a lot of professionals in Pittsburgh, Boston, New York City, and here in Philadelphia that taught me the right way to be a broadcaster. I'm still not the best.
Right.
I'm the best at who I am, I think,
well, that's
and still getting
like
better.
The best, right? Best in getting better?
Right.
Well, listen, I'm interrupting for a second because I found this online, and listen.
Oh, my God. Look at that old picture. Wow.
There is – I'm pulling out the 70th anniversary moments, Beaver County Radio.
Yes, this is one of my first radio stations, Beaver County.
Long-haired, mustached.
Yes, this is WBVP in Beaver Falls. That was my first radio station.
Yes.
Right out of college.
Yeah, they got some pictures of you, too.
Do they?
Yeah,
it'll
remind you of
college.
Oh, yeah,
college. Look at that. I had a mustache there.
Look at this one. Yeah.
That's like helmet of hair.
You look like the Beatles or something.
This is St. Patrick's Day. It's snowing, and you notice that's the first cell phone. This is probably 1983. Hmm. It was those cell phones that come in like a suitcase.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And that's what that is, a suitcase phone. And I'm broadcasting in the middle of a rainstorm. And these are all kids around me. This was an amazing place because it allowed us to come out of school, and it was a big enough radio station in the community of Beaver Falls for us to do a lot of different types of broadcasting. I did the morning show on the FM station, and we played music. It was like love songs.
Right.
And we did some jokes back and forth, and we talked about the local community and news and what was happening. And then I went and I did the sports on the AM station at noon.
Right.
And then I would fill in on the talk show every once in a while in the afternoon, sort of like what we're doing here. And then at night I would do high school football, basketball, hockey play-by-play, and on the weekends I was doing football and basketball games out in the community. So I did a lot of different types of broadcasting back in those days, and I made a lot of mistakes too. There's a book about the history of Beaver County Radio, and I tell this story about how I was anxious to get a story on the air, but I was wrong because I didn't follow my leads the right way. I didn't use the inverted pyramid of journalistic integrity.
Yes.
I just went with a hot tip, which is what they do nowadays.
Yeah.
Now I was way before my time, but I went with the tip before the actual fact, and I kind of got into a couple pieces of trouble. But, you know, this is where you learn in these places like that. And they were great to me there, and I still love this place. And they really trusted me to do a lot of great work, and I appreciated that. Beaver Falls is where Joe Namath was born, and, you know, there was a great history of sports broadcasting that came out of there. So I had a decision to make a few years, you know, after I was there, whether I was going to go sports broadcasting or music broadcasting. But this was before the proliferation of sports broadcasting as we know it today.
Okay.
And I had been offered more money to do music programming and music radio.
Mm-hmm.
So I went down that road. You know, it's been very good to me over the years.
Oh,
you know, and then that led to a job in Pittsburgh, and then I went to Boston and then New York City, and now here in Philadelphia.
Well, listen, you're on the cover of their 70th anniversary moments.
That was just one story about me. They have had great broadcasters come out of there over the years, and have, you know, people that have gone on to have great careers, like Chris Shovlin out in Western Pennsylvania, and Bob Barrickman, who is a great sports broadcaster out there. There's so many great folks that have come out of that radio station. So it's great that you found that. That's very interesting. You know,
well, you're actually a pretty tall guy. How tall are you?
6'4".
You're no skinny guy. I mean,
no.
You're a pretty solid person.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this is back in the day. You're coming out of college.
Right.
So you must have been pretty affable in college, you know.
And it all comes from the great family background I had.
Yeah, seven.
That's
seven
really,
siblings,
you know, we were, you know, singing and dancing and having fun in the house and just, you know, really just having fun trying to make each other laugh over the years. My brothers and sisters had a very great sense of humor, but it's always kind of been that way for me. This came easy for me.
Right. Oh, that's
my father was, you know, 47 years on the railroad, And I never really wanted to work that hard.
Right.
You know, he was coming home after like a big snowstorm. He'd be out 4 or 5 days trying to clear the railroad yeah. tracks for, you know, the maintenance of way and, you know, the trains to get through. Yes. So I don't think I really ever wanted to work that hard.
Right.
I mean, I work hard now, but I don't think I wanted to get my hands dirty and, you know, hit myself with a sledgehammer or, you know, be out in the freezing cold. So, you know, I work hard in a different way.
Yes.
You know.
So. Well, listen, I'm going to ask everyone to stay tuned because we're going to take a commercial break. We'll be back with Mark Raz, and then we'll be talking to Kevin Savage, actor, model, singer, songwriter.
You are listening to In the Know with David O. Informative, substantive, intelligent talk radio on 860 AM WWDB.
If you've suffered an injury from a motor vehicle crash, trip and fall, construction, or work-related accident, contact the Padova firm to speak with John Padova himself. You've heard the name. That's because for over 25 years, John has been winning for his clients. John is dedicated to ensuring his clients are fully compensated. Call 215-893-0700. That's 215-893-0700. Don't suffer more than you have to. Call John Padova today. Help is on the way.
Here at Sonny's Famous Cheesesteaks, we have the utmost respect for the founding fathers of our fair city's most celebrated sandwich. But we also understand the inevitability of time marching on. So come to Sonny's in Old City for a revolutionary take on the classic. And try the cheesesteak that Alan Richmond of GQ magazine named the best in Philadelphia. And declare your inalienable right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of cheesiness. Sonny's Famous Steaks, 228 Market.
My friends, this is Joe Krause. You've heard me on Philadelphia Radio now for over 20 years, and you know I don't often endorse products or people unless they are real game changers. I want to tell you about Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located in Center City, Philadelphia. And at the end of this short personal endorsement, I want you to consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness. If you are recovering from an injury, if you or a family member has been diagnosed with a disorder that has stopped you in your tracks, or if you're like me, determined to learn about wellness while getting yourself prepared to stay healthy so you can enjoy the blessings of your family. Remember the name of this warm and caring location, Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Why should you consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be.
Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located at 100 South Broad Street, just south of City Hall. Call Weinerman Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today.
Gracie Jiu-Jitsu begins with one basic premise. Technique trumps all. Proven techniques allow the weak to overcome the strong. Learn self-defense that works, all while improving your physical condition, mental outlook, and healthy lifestyle. Gracie Academy Philadelphia will help you reach your goals. Take 2 free classes and see for yourself. Gracie Academy, 1231 Bainbridge Street, Philadelphia. Call them 215-830-6501 or visit their website at phlbjj.com. Get started. Started at Gracie Academy, Philadelphia.
Every day, the men and women of the United States Marine Corps demonstrate their commitment to defend the American way of life. Since 1775, we have served our nation as a force in readiness.
Get some rear security.
From combat operations to humanitarian assistance in every corner of the world. No matter where the mission takes us today, or wherever our country needs us tomorrow, we always remember the land we call home. As Marines, we take a stand for each other, for our nation, for us all, the few, the proud, the Marines.
All right, we are back. Listen, we are talking to Mark Raz, Raz on the Radio, over at 92.5 XTU. Check him out. He'll be on the radio at 3 o'clock. He's been there for 10 years. He has been nominated for two Country Music Awards. And listen, Philadelphia, big country music town. And it is XTU's the 2014 Academy of Country Music Major Market Station of the Year. And yeah. So if you have not exposed yourself to country music, please do. Wouldn't you say?
I would say that you'd be surprised at how modern and contemporary the radio station sounds. It sounds like any radio station on the dial. We just happen to deal with the music that comes out of Nashville.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, you love it. Yeah. Hey, let me ask you this. I mean, you have been in the music business at the forefront. You've met every major star pretty much. Been around for a long time, and one of the things that I really appreciate about you is that you share your wisdom with up-and-coming artists.
Yeah, I try to do the best I can at, first of all, tempering expectations, because we all know that when you start out on the road to your career, it's not always going to be a straight line from A to Z, right? There's going to be several roadblocks and detours that you're going to have to take. And I try to, tell young people and people that want to do this kind of thing to expect that and be kind to yourself.
Mm, what does that mean, be kind to yourself?
You're going to make mistakes. I just shared with you guys off the air the story of how I made a journalistic mistake. And at the time, I remember it was so devastating to me. Mm. How could I do that? But you have to, learn from it.
Yes.
And that becomes a building block to your later skills and disciplines.
Right.
It's the same anywhere. If you're a doctor or a lawyer or city councilman.
Yeah, very true.
A lot of things happen in the course of regular everyday business that you have to learn from each and every challenge and opportunity. And that's what I tell people. And stay dedicated to it.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you can, hang in there, because you never know that, the one phone call might come the day you're going to give up.
Right.
And it took me a long time to get here. They say in Nashville, if you move to Nashville, your first day to the time that you really start to get recognized from your work is 10 years. If you're a college graduate, you remember through about your first or second year, you're like, oh, I can't wait to graduate. This is going too long. And then when you get through it, you finally accomplish something. This is all about experience and building upon that and really becoming experts. What was the book that came out? It takes 10,000 hours to be an expert at something, right? Mm. It's the investment in time to maintain a certain skill. So it's even longer than it's 10,000 hours to become proficient, but really it takes a lifetime to be really good at what you do.
Yeah.
And you got to be dedicated to it. And you got to stay committed. And you got to keep wanting to improve and learning from other people. See, competition is also a learning experience. I can't be mad at any other broadcaster in town because they have better ratings or they make more money or they're more well known. I just have to be me.
Right.
And I could learn from these other people to help me, the business of Raz on the radio, to become better at what I do, because I can't be those people.
Right.
I have to be me. And that's really, you have to be comfortable in your own skin.
Mm. Let me give you an example. You were a judge at our PHL Live Country Folk category.
Yes.
Now here I am. I'm not a music professional. I mean, I look at things, I listen to things, I like this, I like that. And then when I look at the score sheets, not in your category per se, but after we announce the winners, I'm like, wow, I couldn't imagine why that person won. And then I think about it, and I think, hey, the judges were looking at this differently. I said, I really like that sound because it probably sounded like something I already liked that I heard on the radio, but sometimes the judges are looking for something fresh, something unique. You could tell hey, that's going to be something with some polish. What is it that you look at when you are kind of evaluating some performer?
Well, you guys give us a lot of criteria from stage presence to songwriting to presentation to musicianship. Music is personal to everybody. And there's right now sitting in this room, there's four different people. So we would all have four different subjects and personality about music, about who we like and who, if we're going to take a long drive, who we're going to listen to in the car, right?
Right.
But something about that presentation talks to you as a person. Your background may be similar to the singer's background, or something they're singing about relates to you. I look for if someone is relating to what's happening in the room. Mm. Are you proficient at your instrument?
Right.
Are you projecting your message? Mm. Are you connecting with who it is that's listening to you at the moment? Now, it's hard when I put a record on the radio for me to understand what people are connecting to, because there's so many different things happening in the city at once.
Right.
But in that room, is this guitar player singing this song, speaking to a room? We were in the Hard Rock
Cafe, yeah.
Cafe down mm-hmm. in the city. So were the people captured?
Yes.
By what's happening on the stage. And if you see that happening, you're not like, okay, this person looks like they're connecting. They're playing well. They're confident in what they're singing about, mm-hmm. especially if it's a song that they've written. And you can't be shy up there. Like, you have to get out there and you have to lay it all out on the line.
Right, right.
You know, and every one of us is an actor, right? You got Kevin coming up here in a couple minutes to talk about acting. We're all acting in some certain way. We're performing. Mm. If you're listening to us on the radio and we sound interesting to you, we're trying to make a presentation to you. So I look for those kinds of things.
Right, right.
And you can't be lazy when you're performing. I look for that as well. You can't take a moment off. You can't take a note off.
Right.
You have to play. Play your heart out.
Mm.
You know, and any performer you look at that's at the top of the game, every one of them do that. From an opera singer to a rap star to a rock star to the heaviest metal band on the planet. They leave it all out on that stage.
Yeah, that is very interesting observation, because I was just kind of, you know, for the first time ever, and not that I haven't thought this in the past, but mm-hmm. I saw a performer, and what I said to her is, you were very transparent. And what I meant was, and I don't know if she took it as a compliment or not, but it was mm-hmm. a compliment. I mean, she just kind of went out there, and she was just there. Her emotions, her
sure.
feelings, her movements, her expressions, nothing held back. It
right.
was just like you could see right through her piece of glass, everything coming out. And I said, wow, that was some kind of performance, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the greatest actors of all time.
Yeah.
And you know, I took a few acting classes. Okay, I'm not very good at it. But if you see like a great Oscar-winning performance, what do you see in that performance? You see somebody that became what it is they're portraying on the screen. And
yes.
if they're really good at an emotional scene, like if you talk to actors that have been in those kinds of situations,
right.
they'll tell you that it takes them time to, after that scene is done shooting, they say cut, it takes them time to
recover,
get back to who they are as a real
wow.
person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it takes a lot out of them, because you're putting every piece of emotion into it. And if you're doing a scene where you have to cry, you really have to cry.
Yeah.
And you're thinking of something in your life that is so painful that you're crying in front of people, you know, that
yeah.
are just really passively watching, and you have
right,
to grip
right.
them. So it's a lot, you know, and it's a lot with a musical performance, and it's a lot with presenting on the radio, and it's a lot with being a salesperson. Like, you have to, if I'm selling you this paper, I have to really believe that this is the greatest paper in the history of paper,
right.
or you're not going to buy it.
Now, in your case, you're putting music on the airwaves. You can't see who's actually listening to it or how they're
no,
responding,
you can't.
But you're kind of, some people are driving, some
right.
people are angry, some people are doing family
sure.
stuff. So how do you put the music out there? What's your secret sauce?
Well, you're actually, and that's a whole, we could have a 2-hour conversation about that,
yeah.
okay? But the short answer is, really, the radio station presents a certain format, and it's highly researched. You know, every 15 or 20 minutes, you're representing and repositioning the radio station to express whatever it is you're trying to express.
Mm.
But as a person that's talking on the radio, you're trying to cut through. The cell phone is going to ring. This guy's going to cut you off in traffic. Oh, here comes a detour. You're on 76 going toward the Walt Whitman Bridge.
Right.
You know, oh, it's going to take me 47 minutes. You're angry.
Yeah.
You have to try to cut through all of that by just being real.
Mm.
You know, and everybody does it differently.
Right.
You know, and if you think about all the greats, they've all done it differently and in their way. So you try to do the best job you can. The radio station musical format, that's highly researched and polished and tested, and we do auditorium tests and we do musical call out. So it's a whole thing.
Right,
like if you tune into our radio station, it's going to sound the same today as it is tomorrow. It's the presenters that are different. And if you go to McDonald's and you eat their fries, the fries taste the same as it does in South Philly, as it would over in Winona, New Jersey, because it's a McDonald's fry. It's highly researched, highly, you know, specialized. So you try to be consistent yet different. It's a whole. Believe me, it would take a long time to explain it to everybody. And there's a lot that goes into
it. That's a pretty good explanation. Yeah. Listen, I'm going to tell the listeners, you can tune in at 3 o'clock, 92.5 XTU, and listen for yourself. Raz on the radio, we thank him so much for joining us.
Well, I appreciate you having me here.
Hey, a great human being, by the way, also. And listen, stay tuned. After this commercial break, we'll be talking to Kevin Savage and all that he's doing on screen and off.
You are listening to In the Know with David O. Informative, substantive, intelligent talk radio on 860 AM WWDB.
If you've suffered an injury from a motor vehicle crash, trip and fall, construction, or work-related accident, contact the Padova firm to speak with John Padova himself. You've heard the name. That's because for over 25 years, John has been winning for his clients. John is dedicated to ensuring his clients are fully compensated. Call 215-893-0700. That's 215-893-0700. Don't suffer more than you have to. Call John Padova today. Help is on the way.
My friends, this is Joe Krause. You've heard me on Philadelphia Radio now for over 20 years, and you know I don't often endorse products or people unless they are real game changers. I want to tell you about Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located in Center City, Philadelphia. And at the end of this short personal endorsement, I want you to consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness. If you are recovering from an injury, if you or a family member has been diagnosed with a disorder that has stopped you in your tracks, or if you're like me, determined to learn about wellness while getting yourself prepared to stay healthy so you can enjoy the blessings of your family. Remember the name of this warm and caring location, Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Why should you consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be.
Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located at 100 South Broad Street, just south of City Hall. Call Weinerman Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today.
Gracie Jiu-Jitsu begins with one basic premise. Technique trumps all. Proven techniques allow the weak to overcome the strong. Learn self-defense that works, all while improving your physical condition, mental outlook, and healthy lifestyle. Gracie Academy Philadelphia will help you reach your goals. Take two free classes and see for yourself. Gracie Academy, 1231 Bainbridge Street, Philadelphia. Call them 215-830-6501 or visit their website at phlbjj.com. Get started. Started at Gracie Academy, Philadelphia.
At any given moment, somewhere in America, a baby is taking a first step, a developmental milestone. But for too many parents, a baby's first steps aren't just a milestone. They're a miracle. These are the parents of babies who were born prematurely or with birth defects. It's a crisis affecting more than 500,000 babies in the United States each year. You can help them by joining volunteers like you who walk in March for Babies. The money you raise funds research and local programs that help babies overcome the challenges of premature birth and birth defects. Together, our steps make stronger, healthier babies a reality for thousands of families. Sign up today at marchforbabies.org to take the steps that help make milestones and even miracles possible. Who will you march for?
Introducing the YMCA. What, you already know the why? Or so you think. Sure, you know the why for a swim, a workout, even a game of hoops. But did you know we're more than that? We're a cause. When you take your jump shot at the Y, someone else is getting job training. Take a cardio class while kids are in an after-school enrichment program. practice your downward facing dog as a team practices her leadership skills. That's the why. We work with people no matter their age, income, or background, and give them the opportunity to learn, grow, and thrive, all with one simple goal in mind, to strengthen our community. And we've got so much more that does just that. So while you might think of the Y as that place for lifting weights, we're also about lifting entire communities. Introducing the Y. We're so much more than a place. We're a cause. Visit ymca.net/more.
All right, we are back. Listen, we were talking to Mark Raz, Raz on the Radio. Check him out, 3 o'clock, 92.5 XTU. Amazing, fantastic country music. You know, I just encourage you, check it out. If you have not been a fan of country music, you don't know what you're missing. And Mark Raz, just a wonderful host, DJ, great person. Hey, listen, I am now seated next to Kevin Savage. And for those who watch BET, The Quad, you'll know, or maybe you don't know, that he is Terrence QB1 Barry. You know, in the QB1. Hey, listen, I get that right from the script, man. But that's not all that he's been on. Like, he's been on The Game, The Originals, Chasing Waterfalls. And you can look for him season 5 on House of Cards, mm-hmm. Alongside actor-director Kevin Spacey and others. In addition to acting, he's mm-hmm. a model and a singer-songwriter. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Councilman. Oh, just definitely blessed and honored to be here and for you guys to have me here. So thank you.
Hey, you know, it's good timing. Now, A Philadelphia native who is living in Atlanta right now, mm-hmm. but you are often back in your hometown.
You know, it's crazy because when I'm home in Philly, you know, I have a family now in Atlanta.
Yes.
And so I get a lot of messages. Hey, Kev, when are you coming back? Or are you staying there? Or, you know, so it's kind of funny because I'm always here, you know, doing something. So it's so funny. It's so funny.
Now, before we get into a lot of things, let me just say that, in my kind of like perspective or to me, you know, you started acting in like 2002, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's like 16 years.
Well, your research, man.
Well, listen, it may seem like a long time to you, but to me, that's a really relatively short time for mm-hmm. you to like really kind of be hitting the screen the way right. you are.
Wow. Thank you. You know, enjoying Mark Raz's, interview, just listening to him, he shed a lot of insight and, I was just listening to him. One of the things that he said that stuck out is, you know, it's something that you have to continue doing. And, you know, a lot of people fail, but they're going to, you know, they're going to quit before they actually reach that success. And so you got to know that you're going to fail. You're going to fail in anything that you do and anything that you want to do. Mm-hmm. But it's just continuing to go, and seeing it through success. And so, yeah, I started out 2002. I was at, Victory Christian Center. I started out, I got cast in a play, and I actually got cast as the lead. So, you know, that's what kind of gave me the bug for acting. And so just doing a lot of theater here in Philadelphia, realizing and knowing that, you know, hey, if I really, really want to go further with this thing, I may just have to relocate.
Right.
And so that's when I started looking at, you know, L.A. and, you know, Atlanta. And I know I didn't have a lot of money to do the L.A. thing. I didn't want to be in the back seat of my car, you know, with that story,
right,
you know,
right.
trying to survive, trying to get on. So I said, you know what? Atlanta was the best, you know, next thing. And so I said, you know what? It's not too far. Still on the East Coast. I can still travel and come home. And let me try that. And so, it, you know, 5 years ago, I decided to make that move. And I'm so glad that I did.
All right. Well, listen, Victory Christian Center, is that the one like around on Whippy Avenue?
Yep, Whippy Avenue, yep.
Okay, mm-hmm. I know exactly where that is. You know, listen, I live like 4 blocks from there.
Okay, yeah, okay.
I have my entire life. But that's funny because that's where you got your start in like a play, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And had you ever done anything like that before?
No. You know, I grew up, you know, around in the 80s. I'm an 80s baby. And grew up when, you know, watching Married with Children and The Wonder Years and,
right,
and all
right.
of those shows. And I remember it's so funny because, watching, Kevin, you know, Kevin Arnold on a show, mm-hmm. Who's actually, you know, Fred Savage, you know,
yes.
his real name. But
yeah.
so you see the similarities, you know, so right. Kevin Savage is right. so weird watching him, you know, and Winnie. that's what really gave me the bug. And then my grandmother actually would watch the daytime, you know, soap operas all the time.
Yes.
You know, As the World Turns and The Bold and the Beautiful, and watching those. And then I remember mimicking a lot of the scenes and saying, you know, I think I can do that. And so it kind of came back to me actually in my 20s. And I said, you know, this is what I want to do. And so, you know, yeah.
So you knew when you said, like, I want to be an actor.
Mm-hmm. You know, growing up, I would, like I said, just play around with it. But it wasn't until I auditioned for that play at Victory that kind of confirmed. You know, there was a moment in which I will always remember that I had a monologue at the end of the play, and it was a pivotal part of the play, moment in the play. And so giving that monologue on stage by myself in front of hundreds of people, and really, really, really giving my all, and then at the end just to hear people's, you know, appreciation just by the claps and the crying and just so much standing up and
wow.
just giving me so much admiration. And, you know, that thing just stuck with me. And that's when I knew. I said, this is what I want to do.
Wow. So that's really some great affirmation. And also the fact that you had a gift, or otherwise they wouldn't have been clapping and crying. They would have been like leaving their seats.
right.
You know, and that's funny. Every time I hear monologue, and I give away my age, man, I'm much older, but I hear monologue, I think about Captain James T. Kirk on the Starship Enterprise, because he would always give a monologue. And as a child, I thought those were the greatest monologues ever.
Yeah.
Now, listen, but you know, so you decided you wanted to do this, but mm-hmm. but it's no easy road. In fact, what is the road, right? People say, I want to be an actor. Yeah, but what's the road?
You know, there is no one way. Just, you know, if we were traveling, you know, from here to Delaware or whatever, there's just no one way to get there. There's so many different ways to get there. I mean, and, you know, most people would take 95, of course, but that's the route that I wanted to do something different.
Right.
And so, you know, the road to success, anyone who asks me that, and of course I'm still on that road. And I like to remind people that, you know, the road to success, it's not a race, it's a journey.
Right.
And
right.
just like Mark was saying, there are going to be a lot of pitfalls and a lot of things that are going to get in the way, mm-hmm. you know. And I just posted actually on my page this morning, I said, you know, whenever you have greatness, adversity becomes your enemy.
Right.
And so, you know, you have to know how to get over those roadblocks, and most people don't know how to.
Mm.
So for me, moving to Atlanta and being, you know, becoming a stand-in on a game, the TV show The Game, Jay Ellis's role, I was a stand-in for him. And I remember we were they would give us sides, and anyone who doesn't know what sides are, it's pretty much the script of
right.
the episode. And I would rehearse his role.
Yes.
And one of the guys who was a stand-in, who'd been a stand-in for a couple of years, he said, I don't know why you're rehearsing, because they're not going to give second team a chance to actually rehearse. And we're second team. The main actors are first team. And so
right.
I said, you never know. And one day, surely, you know, the director said, okay, we'll have second team come in here and rehearse. Mm-hmm. And I was ready. And I
right.
tell people, if you stay ready, you never have to get ready. And so we went through it, and about out of 10 actors, me and this other young lady, we were ready. And we were spitting our lines out, and we had feeling, we had emotions. And the director came to me and said, you know what? I saw what you did. You're serious about this. And I said, I'm very serious. He gave me a shot. I auditioned. I didn't get, you know, that role that I auditioned for, but he recognized, you know, just my hard work. And he said, you know, I got you. And so he put me in a scene with Tasha Mack and Jay Ellis. So it was dope. So that's my story right there how I got on his screen the first time. So.
It's a great story. I actually read that in one of your interviews, and I wanted to talk to you, with you about that, because to me it says a lot, and not just about you, but it says a lot, because so many people who have given so much to be in that position, to have that script, but they won't read the script.
Mm.
They won't prepare. And what you did, and what people who succeed, you did that implausible thing. I'm getting ready in case they call me up, and sure enough, they called you up.
Listen, I tell people, I mean, you know, you just have to be ready. If it's something that you love to do, if it's something that you want to do, and it's universal. It's not just
right.
acting. It's not just, you know, music. It's with anything in life that you want to do. You have to prep for, because you never know when your number is going to be called. So here's the thing, you know, I tell people all the time, you know, you don't know when success is going to happen for you, but if you don't prepare, then you can be sure that it will never happen for you. Mm. You know, because we can't be sure when our time is coming.
Right.
But if
right.
we don't prep for it, we can be sure it will never come. You know, right. and so you gotta be ready because your number's gonna get called. You're gonna get that opportunity. Now, whether you're ready for it or not, it's up to you.
Yeah, I read that, you know, just in the vein you're talking, that they wanted to cast this character, Terrence QB1 Barry, and based on your lifestyle, they said, that's the man right there.
You know what?
You are the splitting image of no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I was about to say, let's clear that up now.
So tell us about the character and why you enjoy playing that character so much, because he's nothing like you.
So here's the thing. Things for me happen in a very different way. It doesn't happen the conventional way for most part.
Right.
Shout out to Felicia D. Henderson. And Rob Hardy, director, Felicia D. Henderson, the producer of the show. So I went in to audition for them both
right.
for like a few different roles. It wasn't even for Terrence Barry. And so I remembered, you know, my first audition, my second audition went really well. I got the call back. And my third audition went horrible. I mean, it was bad. And I was auditioning. I walked in a room full of about 30 people and I just got shook. I was just like, oh my God, what's going on? So my mental was just gone. But fortunately, there was a two-part audition. I was auditioning for like a drum major. And so if anyone, you know, have ever been or went to an HBCU or just a band period in college, you know how serious they are about marching, the music, dancing and everything. And so the first part was, you know, the monologue, which
right.
I pretty much bombed it. But the second part, I got to dance. And they said, okay, just act like, you know, you're a drum major. And when I tell you, I let everything go and got out of my head and just had fun. And that's what most people miss. You have to find a way to have fun because
right.
that's why you do it. You
right.
enjoy it. It's
right.
fun to you, right? And so, you know, I got on the ground and I started kicking my feet up and I was doing all of this stuff and they just laughed. And the producers, everybody just laughed at me. And so I left out of there feeling like, okay, I just made a complete, you know, whatever. I was just like, whatever, you know, yeah. I'm gonna keep on going. And I got the call back and I got a call back for, you know, I got booked for the job that I'd never even auditioned for.
Mm. Wow. What a great story.
So when it's yeah. meant, it's meant.
Mm. Wow, that's something.
So we got the call back. Hey, you know, my agent called me. Hey, you're going to be Terrence Barry, quarterback. And the funny thing about it is I've played football a little bit, but I've never played quarterback. So I said, okay, well, let's try this. I got a funny story about that. But, yeah, that was very interesting.
Now,
The character.
Terrence QB1 Barry. He's a bad boy, troublemaker.
You know what? You know, he's arrogant. You know, he is arrogant. Coming from a one-parent home, you know, he only had his mother, didn't have his father in his life. So, you know, there's a lot of things that he felt like he had to prove.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was able to take all of that and put it into his game. And so the thing about that was they took my character totally different way. So I was able I had one scene. I was only
right.
slated for one scene, actually. A lot of people don't know this.
Okay.
And shout out to Sean Blake Moore. You've probably seen him on, you know, soap operas and stuff, General Hospital. So, you know, he's an Emmy Award winning actor. So they put me in there with him and they were a little nervous because they didn't know what I could really do.
Right.
And so I went in there and I had fun. And that day I posted it actually on my Instagram and Facebook. And I just went in there and had fun, you know, and at the end, you know, I was walking to my trailer and one of the writers, he said, listen, you know, where you been? So we didn't know you could act like that.
Wow.
And I said, well, I've been here all the time. Where you guys been? And he said, well, we're going to work on some stuff. You're coming back. And when I came back strong. So.
Now, how do you get to be? I mean, how do you, Kevin Savage, transform and become Terrence QB1?
Well, that was difficult because I didn't know, you know, I found out maybe a day or two before we shot the rape scene, actually. I didn't know that's where they were taking my character. And so I got the phone call by, Felicia herself. She called me personally and said, hey, this is where your character's going. And I was like, whoa. And so I had, I had to call a few people. I have three actually wonderful sisters, who, you know, I had to, you know, shout out to Artie Savage here, Holden, and Kavana Tandon. You know, they've all supported me. And so I had to call on them to ask them, you know, have they ever been in those situations? And fortunately they haven't, but they were still kind of able to give me insight on how, you know, the female's perspective of a situation like that. And they have friends who've been through that.
Right.
Had to do my research, and it was really difficult. I mean, I remember, you know, that scene of me being on top of her, and I was just like, oh my God, like, I had to call Cut a few times. They had to call Cut because I just.
You were in the character.
I was in the character, but there was still some, you know, resistance a little bit, and I, you know, and they said, look, you can do this. And I said, you know what? And then there was a point where the actress said, she said, rape me. And I was like, oh my God. So, you know, it was a moment right there. But after I felt comfortable knowing that she was comfortable.
Yes.
It was on. It was on. Right, and that's when I was able to actually present my best work as an actor.
Yeah. And listen, you are now also, scheduled for, American Soul.
American Soul. So, yeah. Robert Townsend, shout out to him, director of that show. And before I go any further, shout out to Patrick Ryan, who is my my agent over at Align Stars in Atlanta, Georgia. He works very hard for me. So he submitted me for the role, was able to go and audition. George Pierce, shout out to him, very known casting director, CSA. So shout out to him as well. Went in, auditioned for him. You know, got the call back and had no idea that I was actually going to be auditioning for Robert Townsend. And so, he comes out, he's like, hey, we're ready, let's go in. So I go in, and I left it, you know, all in the room. Right. Just like Mark said, you gotta leave it all online.
Right.
And, I got the call back, and, actually, you know, I booked. And so I will be playing Carter Cornelius, which is Don Cornelius's, father. Yes. And shout out to Sinqua Walls, who actually plays, he was on Power, but he actually plays Don Cornelius. So I'm excited about that. And it's a possible recurring role, so pray for me.
Okay, fantastic. Well, listen, for people who want to follow you, it's at the Savage Life brand, right?
It's at the Savage Life brand, yes, on Instagram, Facebook, Kevin Savage. Actually have another TV show that I'm going to be in called The Passage that plays on Fox as well, so I'll play a soldier in that. Look for that. And Dynasty as well. So I'm excited about that. I'm in
some
that.
Big so roles you got.
I play
big,
Brett, yep.
Yeah, lots of stuff going on.
I'm excited
on.
About that. Love you guys. Love Philly. Love you guys. Tri-State area. Yes. Thank you, Will. Thank you, David O.
Hey,
for Councilman
my
for
my pleasure. Listen, we're all proud of you, and you know, we're pulling for you, and what's good for you is good for us. Shout out to our city and our region, Philadelphia. So thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. You're doing some wonderful things in film and art and everything, and we just appreciate you.
Well, thank you. Well, listen out there, that was Kevin Savage. Check him out, the Savage Life brand.
Yes.
Listen to Mark Raz, and listen, next Tuesday, join me 2 to 3 for In the Know with David O.
You've been listening to In the Know with David O. on 860 AM WWDB. Tune in again next Tuesday at 2 p.m. for more informative, substantive, intelligent talk radio with Philadelphia Councilman David O.